This is Juan Manuel from Zombie King, and you're listening to the House of Noise.
Welcome to House of Noise, everybody.
I was just going to let you take that and run with it. You had it in the bag. But we're here, and it's a beautiful day here at this current time.
Yes.
And we talked to Juan from Zombie King, and they are out of Texas.
Zombie
out
King.
Of the Robstown Corpus Christi area.
Yep.
And you know, we got to talk about some really cool stuff. I didn't realize that Selena was such a such a huge part of to the extent in Corpus Christi, especially of their culture. So what a great way to pay some respect to, you know, a cultural icon.
Yes,
and that that was their position, and that they showcased themselves to Pavement, and that is what helped them get in that door. But they've been busting their humps, him and Juan and Eddie, for a little while, kind of putting things together behind the scenes. And getting Zombie King together and writing music and all that stuff. So
all of it.
Yeah. But it was fun just to hear like his background, you know, his cultural history.
I was having a lot of issues with that interview. I cannot formulate.
You need more coffee.
Cannot formulate a thought to save my life.
See, this is why I take a shower and get my coffee in and kind of like wake up. Well,
I'm wide eyed.
Like...
I just can't think.
But it was fun.
We talked concerts. We talked mental health. We talked, about everything.
Let's mention their current music video they have out there, Dead at the Scene, that is out on YouTube that I watched. Their EP is Dead to Life. So, and we've been able to interview quite a few bands from Texas. So he kind of goes into what the scene is like in Texas, especially in the Corpus Christi area now. You know, it is really positive to hear how the bands are supporting each other during this difficult time and are doing things to help the scene and help each other.
So we hope everybody enjoys this interview.
Okay.
With Juan.
Yes.
From Zombie King.
Juan from Zombie King.
That's what I said.
I said it better because mine was more Zombie King.
Okay. Enjoy.
Bye.
Hello, Jenna.
Yes.
And Jim.
Hi, this is Juan from Zombie King.
Juan, welcome. How are you?
Doing great. How are y'all doing?
You know, we have a nice sunny day in Michigan today, and it's definitely a change from the snow we've been having, so we're doing really good. How's things out in Texas?
Yeah. It's perfect down here. Perfect weather. Sun is out. It's a little windy, so yes.
I wanted to say welcome, and I was going to ask you guys, you know, I know you're of Latin heritage, right?
Yes.
And there's another band, Sons of Texas, and I believe, are they out of the Corpus Christi area?
They're from really close by, from the Rio Grande Valley.
Okay.
No, it's only an hour and a half, a few hours away, depending on where you're headed. But it's really close by to us. They're neighbors. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, it's interesting when I think about the fact that Selena is what got you guys to Pavement. The song you did for her, what can you translate that for me? Because I was trying to figure out what it meant.
Okay, so the song that we covered, it's titled Si Una Vez. Basically, it's a love song. It's one of those heartbreak songs. You know, if pretty much like she's had enough. Si Una Vez, like one more time, it's pretty much saying enough is enough. You know,
gotcha.
That's
okay.
The last time. Yeah.
Okay, because I'm like, you know, I had Spanish in school, and I was trying to think back to, and I got about yes in one. Like, that's about as far as I got. So it's just like, I need to ask them what that means.
Yeah.
So as an artist, was she someone that really kind of influenced you and played a part in your musical story? I guess why did you pick that song and her to kind of showcase your talents to Pavement?
You know, we have so many influences, the guys and I, and we share a lot. But there's one thing, growing up here in South Texas, and especially in the Corpus Christi area, during Selena's prime, you could not get away from the music, you know? And I don't mean that as being disrespectful or anything, but it was one of those things that was just, she is a part of the culture, you know, it was a part of the community. It was just something that everybody was tuned into. You know, everybody knew about her. And we, growing up, you know, being little, you know, teenagers, we just like, we heard it all the time. And it was there with us, you know, and it's part of our childhoods. And so when we thought of the idea of covering, you know, one of our influences, we said, hey, like, let's kind of not catch everyone off guard, but like, let's think outside of the box and do something that we all share, but can actually, can really connect here with the area, you know?
Yeah.
That's how we came to that.
What ingenuity, and just, you know, deciding to think outside of the box, just seeing how that helped you, you know, get into Pavement and stuff. Has that been something that you've always tried to do because you saw how it worked for you at that point? So it's like, hey guys, we need to think outside the box when we're making music and stuff.
Yeah, we keep that with us, you know. There have been other songs thrown around, maybe, you know, perhaps doing another cover eventually, and we've talked a lot about it, and we haven't yet decided on what to do, you know, if we do decide to do another cover. But there's so much that we can, you know, we do not limit ourselves. There's so much that we can do, we feel. So we're still, you know, crossing off the list and trying to come up with something that would be so different, so unique that we could pay tribute to, you know.
Right.
Is it ever a worry that, you know, you start doing covers that maybe people start seeing you as the cover band? I know some bands have had success doing it, and then other ones can't seem to get away from the cover that they did.
Yeah, and we've, you know, I've always... Depending on the band, depending on how the finished product is, I'm not totally against doing covers, but I mean, obviously some people do a really good cover of an old song, and that really defines their career. We don't want to fall into that group. So we, even when we're planning our live sets, we try to keep it to a minimum, you know. We will tease a few songs, a few riffs here and there. We do maybe play a cover, maybe one, maybe two covers throughout our set, you know, depending on how long we're up there on stage. You know, 30 minutes, maybe we'll play one or none. You know, if we have an hour, maybe we'll play one or two, you know. But yeah, so we don't really, we're all about doing our original music, of course. And so the covers, it has to really be something that connects with, you know, all of us that are in the band. And it really has to move us and inspire us for us to be, to decide like, yeah, we want to cover a song now.
So you guys have quite the following in the Corpus Christi area, which is nice. Has that been something that's helped to spread the word to other people? You know, right now with the pandemic, it's kind of hard to tell because you can't really go out there and continue to perform. Do you find that, you know, your fans have reached out to you, and especially after, you know, seeing Dead at the Scene and said, hey, you know, I really like the song, what do you have new stuff coming? Like, do you still have a lot of fan interaction on social media?
Yeah, so the thing with us, very early on, we knew that we wanted to, when we decided to come out and play shows, we wanted to be ready. We wanted to really put in the work and make sure that we should be up on that stage. We should be, you know, we're ready to play shows. So early on, we did a lot of practicing, a lot of grinding in the jam rooms, in the garages, you know, not even playing gigs yet. For good, maybe a year and a half or so. During that time, we said, hey, let's interact online. Let's use social media to connect with people while we're just here practicing and getting ready to really be out there and put ourselves out there, especially with this pandemic. And you see a lot of other bands now shifting to being that interactive group, being online with an online presence, really pushing to use the social medias and online. We feel like we had already been doing some of that, you know, and that's really what helped build our following, connecting with people online. So we feel like we're not too, this isn't as much of a setback as it would have been had we been, you know, more maybe one of the old, you know, the old school bands. Like, you know, people had to go out to gigs and really connect face to face. And it's a different time now, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that, you know, I'm sure you have friends that are maybe in the music world as well. Have you seen or do you know of other bands that are really struggling right now? And maybe what have you been able to advice? Have you been able to give to them since you guys kind of had done this, you know, prior to the situation with COVID-19 and all that?
Here in the area, we do see a lot of bands, and we're in the same boat as far as like merchandise and physical CDs and things like that. This really put a dent in a lot of our planning in that regard. And we see it with a lot of other bands here in the area as well. They had, you know, people had shirts printed out and they had, you know, their little demos and EPs printed out so that they can, you know, go to shows and right. talk to people and really, really push their products, you know, and their music. And you've got we even have things going on here in the Corpus area where like musicians are coming together to make sort of like, let's say like benefit album.
Oh yeah.
You know, we have a lot of local musicians coming together, featuring on each other's, tracks and, compiling all of those tracks and selling those to help the local artists. And, all of the funds go towards all of the people who participated. And there's cool things like that going on right now. But there are a lot of bands that really are struggling. And I wouldn't say that we are struggling. I will say that we do have to adapt now because we planned on gigging and meeting face to face and selling physical copies of our album.
Changing gears a little bit, your video for Dead on the Scene, as you know, it really focuses on mental health. Would you say that's kind of the whole tone of the EP that you guys put out?
I would say, yeah, that is one of the themes. And it's because of the album itself being very personal, very emotional. You know, it was a time where myself and Eddie, our lead guitarist, were struggling to keep the band afloat as well. We had lost members and we really, we felt like we needed to get this out there. So we did whatever we had to do to record this and to capture really everything that was going on during that time period. And we dealt with, you know, depression, anxieties and alcoholism, you know, different, very dark times that a lot of people relate to. And it just so happens that now we're going through this pandemic and people are, you know, they may not even be turning to the bottle or pills or anything, but just being sheltered or being alone, you know, not by choice.
Right.
It really does affect people, more than we think. And, you know, you have these cabin fever type scenarios. And I think we really, it's something, it's just funny to see that this came out, that we released this during this whole pandemic. And I hope it's, we meant for this to be a positive influence, you know, it's for it to have a positive message.
Right.
So people that are maybe have not experienced these anxieties or depression, or maybe this pandemic helps them to relate now as well. Those people that haven't dealt with these issues, but the people that do, they really, you know, this is what the reason for making all of this is, just to connect with those people and show them the light, you know.
As mental health is that something that you guys struggle? You said that's something that you guys struggle with as well. What are some things that you guys kind of do? Maybe some advice to some people out there that are struggling.
You know, I was reading some things earlier online. I would say that you got to stay busy. You got to keep yourself busy. You got to find that happy pastime or something that really moves you, or something even as simple as seeing something beautiful, you know, art or nature, or unwinding somehow, maybe going out and exercising. But these, you know, finding something that can help even a little, immerse yourself in that and try to find more of that. And it really does help to curb the negative side, you know, all of these things that could really eat away at a person.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I know idle hands are definitely the devil's plaything. So
yeah,
keeping busy is a very major thing that you need to do. I'd also say, you know, meditation helps. It kind of goes along with working out and staying healthy.
Yeah, it really does.
Does your family stay in the same? Because you grew up in Robstown, Texas.
So the band, so my bandmates. So there's four of us, Eddie mm-hmm. on guitar, Drew on bass, and Cosme on drums. They're all from Robstown, Texas.
Oh, okay.
And I'm from Corpus Christi, and we're only about 15 minutes apart. We're not really that far away from each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm born and raised here, Corpus Christi. My parents, on my mother's side, they're actually from North Panhandle area, Texas.
Okay.
Whereas my father came from Mexico, he crossed over maybe 15 years old or so, 16 years old. You know, so we've come a long way, you know, my family. So for the guys, the rest of the guys, I believe they are all Robstown, born and raised, and I if I'm not mistaken, their families have been there for a while.
Wow. You said your dad came over when he was a teenager.
Yeah.
Does he ever talk about what that experience was like for him?
Yeah, and he lives in Pennsylvania area right now.
Okay.
He's had to travel a lot.
Wow.
Growing up, you know, I maybe spent at the most maybe half a year with him every year growing up when I was a kid and a teenager. So our relationship isn't as close as, you know, maybe other sons and fathers I may have, but I do have a lot of respect for him. He's told me a lot about like what he went through, and just me thinking at where I was at 15 years old, 16 years old, I don't see myself really having that strength or that fortitude to go through all of the things that he had to go through, you know?
Right.
And he had some family here to lean back on. You know, and that was the reason for him crossing over here. We did have some family. But, for being 15, 16 years old, coming over here and finding any job that you can and working your way up and making it into the oil fields and then having leads on bigger, better jobs after that, it really, I guess that instilled a sense of, you know, no quit, you know, perseverance in my family and myself and my siblings.
You said you spent half the time with him. Are you a product of divorce, or is he just traveled a lot for work?
So my parents are now divorced. I'm 31 now.
Okay.
They divorced. So they split around, I must've been 17 or so.
All right. So
I was, you know, I handled it. Okay. Yeah. As good as someone can handle divorce. Right.
Yeah,
you kind of get,
I was like 13 when my parents divorced. So it was, you know, a little bit harder on me. I was going through it. These different emotional changes in life, and then I had to add that on top of it. So it's rough. It is.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. It is. And it was for myself as well. But But I was a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little easier when you're a little older. Yeah.
Yeah, because you have a little more wisdom and you a little more understanding, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so the work that my dad has done, he's always had to travel upstate and you know out of state to keep working on jobs. So we would see him maybe during the summer or during holidays most of the time, okay. unless maybe work got snowed in or, you know, just things like that where like there would be no work for a couple of months. And then so we would see him more often. But yeah, it's pretty much been like that for the majority of my life. So even going through that whole divorce, it didn't impact me as much because I was already used to being kind of away from him, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So him being away all the time, did that, because I know he probably had strong cultural, you know, ties to Mexico and everything. Now him being away, did that kind of, I guess not affect, but how did that whole dynamic growing up affect that?
So my dad comes from, in our culture, really a lot goes through the mother and the grandmother's, you know, the mother's side. You grow up and they pretty much, they run the house, they make the food, they do everything, you know, for you.
Right.
And it still is like that at times, you know. I'm on my own now, so it's a little different. But I understand where my dad came from. I understand, you know, he himself didn't have that father figure around, so I can see how maybe, you know, dealing with us, he probably didn't think it affected us as much.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
You know, because of his upbringing. So I mean, I totally understand. I don't hold anything against him or my mother. You know, we all have good relationships.
Right.
That's good.
But yeah, I do see how him being away probably set him up for that jump to come over here and work as well, you know?
Yeah.
Have all those experiences, you know, your life experiences with your dad and your family, has any of that factored into some of the other music that you've written for Zombie King?
A little. So early on, a lot of the stuff we were writing came from, like, you know, it was more of like angsty and emotional and kind of where my head was at that time. Mm-hmm. There have been some things from, I would say right now, there's a small part of it that is influenced or inspired by, you know, family and home life. And and I think now, or at least for the Dead to Life album and stuff that the previous demos and things that we wrote before that, I would say right now it's starting to come into the music a lot more for the newer stuff that we plan on writing.
Okay. Because of the pandemic, I guess it's given you more time to write and stuff. So are you writing, and is Eddie still writing licks, and then you guys are sending it through the internet and stuff like that?
Yeah, we haven't done meetings like through Zoom or anything like that, but but we've stayed in touch. We're texting and messaging each other, you know, every other day. And we do have, it's funny, we work in a certain way this whole as far as the band songwriting process goes. A lot of it starts with Eddie, you know. I would say 90-95% of the time it starts with Eddie, and it goes to me to show where our heads are at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put what I feel onto those riffs and send it back his way a lot of times. So we've pretty much already been set up to deal with something like this, you know. Yeah. Being apart from each other and also them living in 15 minutes away, 20 minutes away. We don't always have that luxury to meet up with each other, you know, all four of us get together in a room and play and write music. We have had to do this for the last, you know, 5-6 years, sending each other emails back and forth and recording stuff on each other's music and then sending it back to the other guy. So I would say we have been writing. Eddie has sent me two small ideas, but he has a ton more that he's working on sending to me. I have lyrics. I've got melodies in mind,
the only thing that's the only thing that we need to do is really meet in the middle. Yeah. You know,
well, why was the what was the decision behind doing an EP as opposed to an album? Was that just so you could just get something out right away, or
that basically we knew we had to do something, and we were stagnant for too long, we felt. So we really wanted to get something out and have a finished product, something to really give to people and show them what we're all about, you know, because I'm sure they had different impressions of us from just hearing whatever videos we had on, you know, online or demos that we had out or our live shows, you know, because we know what our sound is. We know like what our music's about, but it's hard for that to translate when you're only doing live gigs and you have no product, you know, right. you have to drag people out there to your show for them to hear and see what you're all about. And even then, you know, there are some times where live shows just don't do the music justice, you know, so you have problems with sound or lights or, you know, so we really wanted something out.
Yep. Whatever can go wrong, will go wrong. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So true.
What's the hardest thing that you guys have had to deal with while playing live? Like maybe the biggest mishap that has happened?
Biggest mishap, I would say, are drums just completely ripping the floor, the bass drum. Just pedal going through and bam, you have no sound for a good song or so.
Yeah.
Or luckily for us, I think it was a 20-minute show or 25-minute show, and this was probably, say we had like maybe 4 or 5 songs. This was probably the second song in.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. So
the most just awkward mishap. You know, who would have thought, you know, that could happen? But yeah, you got to be prepared for anything. And at that point, we just completely stopped. I'm turning around, talking to the crowd, telling them about us. And luckily, the band that was on before us says, hey, like, you know, their drummer, really cool people here in town too. And good friends of ours, they said, hey, just take ours. You know, let's get in. They ran to the back, got their equipment, nice. Went upstage, you know, swapped it out, and we carried on the show. We missed out a song, but we played the other 2 or 3 songs we had left, and you know, got on stage when we were supposed to, got off stage when we were supposed to, and just tried to be professional about it.
Yeah, right. The important thing is that you learn from your mistakes and things that happen that are out of your control.
Yeah, and a lot has happened. Yeah.
How do you prepare for that though?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you really can't. You just you have to have like a little bag of tricks and we've talked about it too. And Eddie's joking, like he joked about it one time. He's like, man, if that ever happens again, Juan, just turn around, look at the audience, and throw your mic down and start doing push-ups. or just randomly start doing jumping jacks. Like, how do you even?
Right.
How do you save that whole situation? It's it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
So I heard Johnny was pretty persistent when it came to being in the band. The drummer. I thought his name was Johnny.
The drummer. Oh, okay. Okay. So that was, okay. I'm sorry. That was probably Javi, but that's one of the old drummers.
Oh, okay.
The guy we have now, Cosme. So he is, yes, he was very persistent when we were trying to look for someone to record this album because at the time we didn't have a drummer.
Right.
He sent a video. He was playing through some Avenged Sevenfold, I believe.
All right.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
And he sent us some videos. Like he said, hey, I'm into metal. I'm into a lot of the same things you guys are. This is what I can do. So he picked some stuff that, you know, can showcase his talent. I checked it out, sent it to Eddie. You know, we were still kind of uncertain about what we were going to do, but this was our best bet at the time.
Right.
And, you know, luckily for us, we tried him out and it worked out. He ended up recording the album, and at the time he was only, you know, 17 going on 18 years old, man.
Yeah, didn't I hear it was, I think I heard Eddie,
it was insane.
I think I heard Eddie refer to him as the kid, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's what we refer to him as on stage. He is the kid. Yeah. And he's still funny. Yeah, he's still a baby, but all the talent, all the promise, you know, all the potential in the world for that guy. It's insane how far he's come. Now, early on, he was very persistent, and he really, even after times where we said, you know, you might not even be full time. This is just you're recording the album. We don't know if, you know, you're going to be a part of the band. He still stuck with it, man. And I kudos to him for not giving up and really pushing us to keep him, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he could have been like, okay, well, you know, I'll try really hard this time. And then I'm tired after that, you know, like, God
bless
him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he could have given up. Yeah.
And that's awesome because I have seen, is there like kind of a resurgence? Texas is known for a lot of things, barbecue, beautiful countryside, pastures, farming, that kind of thing. Also for Pantera.
All four seasons in one day.
Yeah, and... yeah. And, you know, then you have Pantera and stuff like that. So is the metal scene and rock scene pretty strong? Because we've interviewed a lot of artists coming out of the Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I feel like it's been very 2000s and the 2010s. It was very up and down. You had some bright spots there, you know, maybe two or three times. But it never, as far as right here in Corpus Christi area, it never stayed that way. It would peak and then drop almost, you know, immediately. And it was never as consistent as, you know, all of us in the scene would want it to be. You know, it's still tough out here to get a crowd at a metal or rock show. And then you really have to bust your ass to get people out there. Nowadays, you're competing with so many things. Like, people would rather be tuning into the next episode on Netflix of whatever show's on, or, you know, just there's so many more things now that people can do on their own that have their full attention. It really is more difficult today to get people out to the show. And I feel that now it's starting within the past like 2 or 3 years. I feel like it has slowly been building towards, like there's a resurgence, and it's the arrow is headed up, and there's a lot of good stuff happening in Texas as well. You know, you got Sons of Texas doing their thing, Nothing More.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of others that are, but those guys are really towards the top right now. They're really doing their thing and putting Texas more on the map than what it already is.
Yeah,
and I feel. So our hope, I mean, our goal is to be at that level as well. You know, there's so much that this scene has to offer, and we just need everyone to hear it, you know? We just need to get everyone's attention, and they'll discover so much more is going on here than you hear on the radio.
Well, I'm hoping that this pandemic will help bring even more resurgence of going out to shows and, you know, catching any show you
definitely
possibly
can. Yeah, jumping at the bit, yeah. I feel the same way.
I hope that as soon as this is over and we can all go out, that, you know, we're going to see packed houses and we're going to see, you know, a definite resurgence
in
live shows.
You know, I definitely agree. I feel, and I've mentioned it to the guys, I feel that this, the bright spot in all of this, you know, the silver lining, I think that local bands, local venues, these people are going to benefit. There's so many people now that aren't going to have the chance to go to a festival. They can't go out to an arena show. Like, who knows when that's going to be available, you know, not even till 2021. Some people say, So what do you have to do for the rest of the year other than go and check out these smaller bands where there's only going to be 30 or 40 people watching, you know, at the most. But now, who knows, maybe this turned into, hey, local band so-and-so is headlining at your local bar and grill, and bam, then you see 150 people attending because who else is playing right now?
You
know,
the
big tours are on stop.
You know what's going to hurt it, though, is all the cover bands. That's going to hurt.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt the market for still. It's already hurting the market. I mean, good for them because they're making money at what they love to do. But, you know, it really puts a real damper on the people trying to make their own original music.
Yes, the originals, the OGs, yeah.
Well,
it's a struggle, man. It's just a fight.
Well, and, you know, and just so you know, I am a fan of original music. Nothing against bands that want to do an occasional, you know, they want to take a song, play it, but there's nothing wrong with taking a song and playing it in a different way while still being respectful to the original creators. That's what I like more. That's, you know, I don't think you take a cover and you reproduce it. I think you take it and you change it up, you know, and give it some new life and breathe life into it. That's the reason why you're supposed to be doing it, not to just do what's already been done 10 times before.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny you say that. Being in a band actually helped me realize it. It taught me how to put yourself into a cover, you know? Before, you know, I would hear people doing covers and I would expect to hear close to what the original artist intended, you know, and I want to hear, if you're doing a cover, I want you to do it justice, you know, and you know, the old me, maybe, you know, 12, 15 years old, I would, you know, that to me, that meant, hey, you got to sound close to what these people sound like, you know, you got to do it the way they do it. That's a cover. And nowadays I'm, you know, now a little more established, as a vocalist and as a songwriter, I fully understand how to take that and make it your own and still do it justice, you know, still pay tribute and do it the right way. And that's really what we shoot for now. So if we ever do decide, I know we are going to decide to do another cover. We don't want to like overdo it, but
right.
Yeah, it's going to be something that we really sit down and we inject our sound into it and do it our way. Yeah,
definitely. I was going to ask you the artwork for Zombie King. Is that something that you guys came up with, or did a fan come to you and say, hey, this is what, when I think of the term Zombie King, this is what I see in my mind. Are you guys cool with me doing it this way?
So when we had everything ready to go, all the music, we got back the masters and we were ready to package it. We did not have any artwork for the music. Our thing was like 100% focused on the music and writing and recording that. That's the most important thing. This is what we're doing this all for, you know, this is the reason. And didn't forget about, but we kind of put the artwork on the back burner. And after a few weeks, maybe like, okay, it was maybe 2 or 3 weeks before our release date, we had tried a few artists and nobody got back to us, or they didn't have the right idea or concept in mind.
Right.
Luckily for us, we found an old friend of the guys there in Robstown, Luis Hurtado. He actually, I think he lived in San Antonio for a while, but was back in town maybe 2 weeks before our release date. So we got in touch with him and everything just started falling into place. Like having a good relationship with the guys, he came to us and said, you know, I can get this done for you. Tell me what you guys want. And it was as easy as that. Like we told him the concept, what we wanted someone to see when they get the album, what they want to feel or think about, you know, and could have just told him, hey, draw a Zombie King for us and, you know, what you think it is and give it back to us and we're using it. But We decided to change it up as well, and we told him, let's not focus on our name. Let's not focus on the Zombie King itself, because that's an idea that we have. That's a concept that we came up with years ago. We do want to, you know, someday, maybe, who knows, maybe a mascot or something comes out of this, kind of like an Eddie or, you know, like a Vic from Megadeth. We decided to go in a different direction and say, hey, we're not going to focus on that or like bringing life to that character yet. Let's go with a woman instead on this cover, you know, something that screams, but keep the concept in mind. We told him, we gave him the album title, Dead to Life. Keep that in mind and show us what you got. And that's what he sent us.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, man. I like it. I'm big into like skulls and that kind of thing, but it's very, eye-catching, and it's awesome.
That was the goal.
Yeah,
we wanted something to just visually, just aesthetically pleasing, and something that just pops out at you and will really grab someone. Because in our minds, you know, growing up, you go to a store and you're walking through a CD aisle, and you most of the times you have something in mind that you want to buy, but there are so many others that just make your head turn and you say, hey, like, okay, I'm going to pick this up and see what it's all about. And if it catches you, if it grabs you enough, you end up walking out the store with that album as well, you know?
Yep.
So that's what we wanted.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing that makes me so sad, because people consume music so differently now than when I was, you know, a teenager and stuff. And Yeah, album art is part of the band's brand, and
yeah,
because nobody buys CDs really, and you know, vinyl is coming back, but really more on a collector's basis. It's like people have forgotten that. Hey, you know, when you see, you know, you might have heard like one Iron Maiden song, but maybe you can't remember Iron Maiden, but you know, if you see Eddie, Iron Maiden, or if you see Vic Rattlehead, you know, it's Megadeth. It's like album artwork is so, so, so important. It really is that thing that back in the day sold the band, that got people interested.
Well, that's what sold Kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
I mean, a Kiss album when you see that makeup.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's definitely. It makes me a little sad because
their logo was pretty prominent too. So
I still buy physical CDs, and I will cry so hard when they're not made anymore. And I hope to God that never happens, because I mean, I'm looking at all the CDs I have now and the ones I just got.
Trivium's new one.
Yeah, I just got Trivium's new one.
Oh yeah.
Which if you don't have it, it's awesome.
Solid work. Those guys are, man. They're putting in so much work, and they're doing great things.
Yeah, they are. And
I feel like they're kind of, right now, they're kind of carrying the torch, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
In a way. Yeah.
I agree. And then Black Dahlia.
Yeah.
They are their cover art. I mean, they're like their name and just, you know. Yeah it's just...
exactly. Like you get the shirt and the album artwork, and that's them.
Just makes me a little sad, but you know, at least we still have music. But I just hope CDs stay around at least, or something.
I do too. I still, any chance I get, I get physical copies.
Yeah.
And you know, it's sad because it's even for movies, video games. It seems to almost be, everything's headed that direction. Like everything's going digital.
Yeah.
And I hope it doesn't fully. You know,
it's actually bothering me a lot about games. I'm not an online player.
Yeah.
I like playing through the story mode, and not many games have that story mode anymore.
Yeah, it's same here. Yeah.
So you guys do have merch.
Yes, we do.
So where is the best place for people to find your merchandise, to download your album?
And not steal it,
yes.
Okay, so for people wanting to download the album, we are on Amazon Music, we are on Apple Music, on iTunes, we're on Pandora, Spotify, you know, it's out there.
Right.
Look up Dead to Life EP or look up Zombie King. Now for our merch, this weekend, actually, I've been setting up an online store to mail out merch, you know, and I feel it's a big risk, but just seeing what other bands are doing and seeing how fans of music are adapting or are reacting to this whole situation, there's a lot of promise. You know, I think people really do see that musicians are, you know, we rely on selling merchandise and meeting people face to face to, you know, for people to going out to shows. And this is, you know, we're not able to do that right now.
Right.
You know, and we owe it all to them. So it's beautiful to see all of these people really supporting those bands that they can't go see right now, you know? So I feel pretty good about us doing this whole online thing as well. So I would say go through our Facebook or Instagram. That's probably the easiest way to see any links to whatever shop we may have. And that's the best way to keep up to date with us.
Okay. Right. Good to know, because I'm going to do some shopping then Monday. I'll check you out.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Juan. And we will, I'm going to keep you guys in my thoughts and follow you. I'm following you on Facebook. You guys are amazing. Eddie and his guitar playing is incredible. Your drummer, the kid, is just, you guys are awesome. So, and I'm going to.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that once this stuff is done, you'll be, you know, on the road in the future and maybe make it out here to the good old Mitten, and we'll be able to hear some.
I hope so too. We really do. We would love a fresh start, you know?
Yeah. I think we all would.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day out there in beautiful Texas, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you all.
All right.
Thank you
Take
for
care.
Having me.
Yep. No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.